Today is June 22nd, 2026. This is your FinTech briefing for Macro Observer. In the next 8 minutes, we'll cover the Fed's structural dismantling of forward guidance under Chair Kevin Warsh, a semiconductor concentration in the S&P 500 that now dwarfs the dot-com peak, and what the Iran-U.S. Memorandum of Understanding means for the inflation trajectory banks are trying to plan around. Let's start where the risk is most immediate. Kevin Warsh has done something no Fed chair has done since Ben Bernanke built the modern communication framework post-2008. He's effectively torn it down. The FOMC statement was reduced by approximately two-thirds. Warsh declined to submit personal dot-plot projections. And in place of the elaborate forward guidance architecture that has governed monetary policy communication since 2010, the committee offered a single declarative sentence. The committee will deliver price stability. For anyone running asset liability management at a regulated institution, that sentence is not reassuring. It's destabilizing. Your mortgage pipeline hedges, your deposit repricing models, your rate sensitivity assumptions, all of them were calibrated to 6 to 18 months of dot plot visibility. That visibility is now gone. The planning horizon for every rate-sensitive infrastructure decision has compressed from 18 to 24 months down to the next six-week FOMC cycle. The practical consequence is higher hedging costs, wider bid-ask spreads on rate derivatives, and elevated mishedging risk for institutions with $10 billion or more in interest rate-sensitive assets. We're looking at an estimated 6 to 12-month recalibration window across the industry. What makes this more complex is the dot distribution that the unanimous 12-0 hold vote obscures. 9 of 18 officials project at least one rate hike this year. 6 project two hikes specifically. The committee's year-end core inflation projection has moved to 3.3 to 3.6%, meaning there is no consensus view of convergence to the 2% target on a 12-month horizon. Danielle DiMartino Booth has been tracking this closely, and her read is unambiguous. The hawkish distribution is real, and it's not priced into the lending or deposit repricing assumptions most mid-tier banks are currently running. Building on that, Warsh has initiated 5 internal task forces to overhaul the Fed's measurement infrastructure. The one with the most immediate compliance implications targets the replacement of lagged Bureau of Labor Statistics employment reports, which carry a 3 to 6 month effective lag with real-time payroll data from ADP, Paychex, and Paylocity at weekly frequency. That shift matters beyond monetary policy. Banks use BLS dominant data series for CRA compliance economic assessments, credit model validation, and stress test scenario construction under DFAST and CCAR. When the Fed's official data series changes, those internal models need to change with it. Institutions should begin scenario planning now for alternative Fed communication architectures that could materialize as supervisory guidance in the 2026 to 2027 compliance cycle. Now, looking at the equity market structure sitting underneath all of this, the picture is genuinely unusual. Lance Roberts' analysis puts semiconductor stocks at approximately 20% of S&P 500 market capitalization as of this month. To anchor that number, at the 2000.com peak, the comparable figure was 9%. We are now at more than double the concentration that preceded the most significant equity market drawdown in modern U.S. market history. The broader fintech pattern here is that this kind of sector concentration creates fragility that propagates through credit quality, not just portfolio values. H1 2026 BCS inflows have surpassed $1 trillion against any prior full-year record. Margin debt as a percentage of M2 money supply is at an all-time record. And as of this week, we are inside the corporate buyback blackout period ahead of Q2 earnings, which runs approximately through July 14th to 18th, removing a structural demand floor that has been running at a record annualized pace. More importantly, pension funds are sitting at 110% funded status, the 98th percentile historically, and are simultaneously overweight equities and underweight fixed income. The structural rebalancing pressure that creates is estimated at $50 to $150 billion in selling, concentrated in the highest performing technology and semiconductor names. A full mean reversion to pre-AI cycle semiconductor weightings of 10 to 12% of the index would imply a 40 to 50% sector drawdown, representing $3 to $4 trillion in notional equity value destruction. For fintech investors with public market exposure to AI-adjacent platforms, and for banks managing trust portfolios indexed to the S&P 500, that is a risk concentration that is unmatched in modern market history. The SOX Semiconductor Index is reported up 100% year-to-date in 2026. The only comparable precedent is 1999, 1 year before the dot-com peak. That parallel carries direct implications for fintech infrastructure vendor pricing, M&A multiples, and technology procurement costs. When that correction comes, it won't stay in the semiconductor sector. On the inflation side, the Iran-U.S. Memorandum of Understanding, signed approximately June 19th to 20th, has introduced a 60-day negotiation window that bifurcates the inflation trajectory in ways that directly affect lending margins and deposit repricing assumptions. Looking at the regulatory landscape and the policy posture the Warsh Fed is navigating, there are three materially distinct scenarios in play. The base case, running at roughly 55 to 60% probability, is that Iran normalization proceeds, energy-driven inflation tail risk recedes, and the next few months of PCE data decelerate from the approximately 4.2% CPI print expected in the near term, which primarily reflects a lagged oil spike effect rather than embedded demand pressure. Under that scenario, the Fed can hold, and the pressure on consumer credit quality and commercial real estate refinancing pipeline stabilizes. The stress scenario, carrying roughly 30 to 35% probability, involves commodity strategist Jeff Currie's day zero oil inventory depletion thesis materializing around late July, combined with continued Strait of Hormuz normalization uncertainty keeping WTI in the $80 to $95 per barrel range through Q3. Under that scenario, the Warsh Fed maintains a restrictive posture longer than markets currently expect, and the bankruptcy pressure that DeMartino Booth is flagging, running 38.4% above prior year levels, accelerates into consumer lending books. The Dallas Fed-trimmed mean PCE is currently at 2.99% versus its 10-year average of 2.91%, effectively normalized. One-year inflation swaps recorded their largest single-week decline since the June 2022 inflation peak, falling to the 2.5% area. Those are constructive signals, but they coexist with Johnson Redbook retail sales at plus 9% year-over-year, the highest reading in the 30-year dataset outside COVID stimulus periods, a figure that masks, in Roberts, framing K-shaped income distribution dynamics where aggregate spending strength conceals accelerating stress in lower-income cohorts. Briefly on the venture and private market side, BAAS program economics have undergone a structural reset following FDIC enforcement actions against Blue Ridge Bank, Evolve Bank & Trust, and Sutton Bank between 2023 and 2025. Compliance costs for BAAS programs have risen 40 to 60% since 2023. Net ROE for bank sponsors has compressed from 15 to 20% pre-enforcement to 8 to 12% post-enforcement. Programs below 8% ROE are candidates for exit, which is concentrating remaining deal flow toward better capitalized, compliance-ready sponsor banks and raising the barrier to entry for fintech challengers dependent on embedded banking infrastructure. On the AI infrastructure side, the U.S. government's confirmed shutdown of Anthropic's Fable 5 model, the first instance of the national security apparatus intervening in frontier AI deployment, crystallizes a non-commercial operational risk that financial services firms have not previously priced. Enterprises, with more than 60% of AI critical workflows dependent on a single frontier model provider, now face model availability risk with no contractual remedy. The open source cost differential is real, approximately 50 cents to $1 per million tokens for Chinese open source alternatives versus $15 per million tokens for closed source equivalents. But U.S. export control extension to Chinese AI model API access creates a compliance overlay that demands written legal opinion before scaling any customer-facing or compliance-critical deployment. FinTech Thesis Update for June 22nd, three things changed in the industry outlook today. First, the Warsh Forward guidance elimination is not a communication adjustment. It is a structural operating environment change for every institution with rate-sensitive assets. The 6 to 12-month recalibration window is real, and institutions that wait for supervisory guidance to begin scenario planning will be behind. Second, semiconductor concentration at 20% of the S&P 500, combined with buyback blackout and pension rebalancing pressure, represents the highest systemic equity fragility we have seen in modern market history, and fintech valuations and consumer credit quality are downstream of that risk. Third, the Iran MOU 60-day window is the single most important macro variable for the second half of 2026 rate path expectations, and it resolves in late August, well before the Fed's September meeting. Watching the rails. Until tomorrow. That's your core brief for today. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with more.